After Alex had turned on the camera light, a panic wave went through the flock. He saw a long, dark hall full of de-beaked, derailed hens in tiny cages, cackling and screaming. A sudden coldness hit him at the core, and he took a step back. It was like a scene from a utopian horror movie.
My name is Henrik Vilenius, and I'm the author of the Rise Up trilogy, a young adult coming-of-age story about Hashim, Alex, and Mariam confronting real-life issues like climate change, corrupt politics, animal cruelty, and racial and gender equity.
Ahmed replayed on his laptop the part of surveillance footage that showed Chloe taking a tube out from her pocket.
"Stop! Right there!"
Seth Erebus said, as they sat side by side on the couch in his boss's office.
"I want you to cut those 2 seconds out. I don't want to see that tube empty. Do you understand what I want?"
Ahmed wasn't sure if he had heard it right, but then the unwavering look in Erebus's eyes confirmed his suspicion that he had been told to tamper with the evidence.
"Can you do it?"
Erebus repeated. Shuffling his feet, Ahmed broke eye contact. He was about to commit a felony that could land him in jail.
I know how to do it."
"Then do it."
It went without saying that this was part of the payback Ahmed had to do in order to help his brothers.
"Yes, sir. Of course, sir."
Erebus nodded on his head with a slight smile.
"Ah, I knew I could count on you."
Closing the lid of his laptop, Ahmed felt exhausted. He got up and walked to the door.
"And one more thing," his boss said. "This Alex Novak. I want you to hack on all his social media accounts and cut access to them."
Yes, sir. It might take some time, but it shouldn't be too difficult."
Ahmed closed the door behind him and headed for his desk. It would be another long night. He didn't have time to go to the mosque for the evening prayer, but he never missed the Friday one. Ahmed was doing this to keep his family together, because without his family, he was nothing. Yet, obey the laws of the land was a central concept in Islamic jurisprudence. He knew he was committing a sin by breaking the law, even if it happened in a non-Muslim country. Anyway, it was already too late to turn back. Ahmed had been on a slippery slope ever since he became the personal assistant to Erebus. So far, he hadn't committed an actual crime. But he sure had neglected his civic duty to report the numerous violations on health and food safety regulations. Of course, in the span of his brief life, he had seen much worse. But as Allah was his witness, he had made a promise to become a good Muslim when he was granted asylum in the United States. After his arrival, he had studied hard, attended prayers in the local mosque, done voluntary work with incoming refugees, sent money to his brothers and relatives, lived modestly, stayed away from vice, and worked his way up in the corporate ladder. Ahmed knew that the idea of ends justifying the means was against the teachings of Islam. Yet there were special cases that it could be considered a lesser sin, like if he feared for his own life or for his family's. If he sincerely repented afterwards and promised never to do it again and asked Allah to forgive him, there was a good chance that he could be absolved of his sin. After taking the seat, Ahmed turned on the computer screen, said a quick prayer, and went to work. Hashim glanced up and spotted Miriam in the kitchen window as he got out of the lake. His instinct would have made him grab the towel and cover himself up as fast as possible. But instead, he just stood there at the end of the pier, his shoulders back and his legs wide, comfortable in his own skin. Without looking over his shoulder, he knew Alex was watching him too. All his life he had avoided burying his body, despite all the hard work he had put into it. He had tried several times in the locker room of his gym to be more relaxed about it, especially if there was someone hot. But then, shame or panic would take over him, making him flee. This sudden lack of inhibition was something very new to him. Even in the gym, he would wear loose clothes that covered his limbs, and after the workout, he would hurry home to shower. Only in the privacy of his own room would he then undress to his boxers and check out his progress. With droplets running down his shiny, olive skin, Hashim looked up and saw Miriam still in the window. She was not smiling at him, but smiling with him. So typical of her, always encouraging and supporting him, like an elder sister he never had. If only things could always stay this way. However, Hashim had a feeling for some time now that the world as he knew it was coming to an end. All the signs were there. Not only had he noticed that things were happening at a quicker pace, creating chaos, at least for him and Alex, there was a type of restlessness that had been growing inside of him for some time now. Yet he wasn't worried. As one of the central pillars of his faith, he had full trust in the divine will. Already, on two life-threatening occasions, it had intervened at the last moment and saved him. Allah was the most compassionate and the most merciful of all. Bouncing his knee, Alex had an empty feeling in the pit of his stomach as he sat on the couch, watching the news program. Mary Farm assures that it has taken all the necessary steps to contain the virus, said the newscaster as several pictures appeared on the screen. One of them showed masked Chloe pushing a swab into the beak of the birds. The company believes that the tube in the hand of the perpetrator contained the virus.
You didn't see her doing that?
Hashim asked, sitting right next to him. Alex was about to answer that, but his jaw dropped as he saw his high school photo plastered across the big screen. The Monmouth County Sheriff's Office has released a photo in the name of one of the perpetrators. His name is Alex Novak. He's 18 years old and is currently residing in Queens, New York. If you have any information of his whereabouts, please contact the Monmouth County Sheriff's Office. The number is... Hashim turned the TV off. With a sinking feeling, Alex realized that the whole thing had turned deadly serious. To a certain degree, he had anticipated a strong pushback, but not that fierce with so much false information. He clutched his arms around his belly to ease the tremors going through his body.
I need to call my aunt.
You better not. I'm sure they're monitoring all her calls. Hashim paused for a second before he continued.
Didn't you wear a mask all the time?
It got ripped as I was climbing over a fence. Alex responded with a blank look on his face.
Let me see your video again.
Miriam said and sat down next to him.
Play it towards the end when you enter the annex with the dead chickens in it.
Alex ran that part on his mobile phone, but it was hard to see what was really happening.
We need a bigger screen, Miriam said and vanished into the kitchen.
Alex rubbed his eyelid.
I'm dead.
Hashim laid his hand on Alex's shoulder.
Not so fast. I think I know what she's after.
Before he had time to elaborate, Miriam came back with her laptop and uploaded the video. Now they watched it on a bigger screen in slow motion. Alex could see how Chloe took out a packet of small empty tubes from her pocket, reached out to a hen, and pushed the end of the swab into its mouth.
That's it. She's collecting samples,
Miriam said. Alex just stared at the screen, unable to form a coherent sentence.
Why would she do that?
Hashim asked. Miriam leaned back on the couch.
To make sure it was a bird flu infection.
Furrowing his brows, Alex tried to make sense of what he had heard. Then his face lit up and he sprang up to his feet.
Mary Farm tampered with the evidence and I can prove it. But who's Chloe working for?
Hashim asked. Alex slumped back on the couch, his face clouding over.
And is she still alive? I mean, otherwise she would have gone public with her samples, right?
Alex went quiet for a moment before he raised his head again.
I could post my video on YouTube using my new anonymous email account.
It's too late.
Their narrative won. We need a lot more than that to counter it, Miriam said.
Actually, now you could use your old Twitter account as you've already been exposed. Your posts sure will get a lot of attention.
We only need to use a proxy server to hide our location.
Hashim said and extended his arm around Alex's shoulder and squeezed. Alex nodded his head and closed his eyes, trying to calm his racing pulse, one breath at a time. The young blonde teacher ran through two players, caught the ball, and after two steps, she jumped up and flung it past the goalie. As her team took the lead, a crowd of supporters in the rafters cheered. There were only 30 seconds left in the Ohio State Handball Championship game. After a bear hug by a sturdy teammate, she took her position and, together with her teammates, kept their opponents tied to their own side until the horn blared.
15. Ahmed sat in his office and watched Hashim's coming out video on YouTube. He leaned forward as Hashim said,
"I don't know how I would have made it without my friends."
Stroking his forearm, Ahmed could imagine the desperate situation Hashim had found himself in. He had seen young men driven to take their own lives rather than facing expulsion from their families. Then at least your parents, siblings, cousins, and neighbors would remember you and pray for you. But if you were excommunicated, you would cease to exist as if you had never been born at all. His upstairs cousin, who he had suspected was gay, had rather joined ISIS and died on a suicide mission than lost his family. Looking up from the screen, it took Ahmed a moment to focus through his blurry eyes and see Vlad charging towards his office. Not wanting to reveal all the information he had found, Ahmed punched a key that would switch all the screens to his home screen. However, he was too late, as Vlad had already entered his office.
"My, my, my. What do we have here?"
Vlad said and grabbed the back of Ahmed's swivel chair, propelling him away from the desk. Alex's and Hashim's friendship was all up there, with pictures from social media. Then he spotted an article in a local paper and zoomed in.
"The young man has been identified as 16-year-old Hashim Assad of Greenfield Grove. The circumstances of his arrest are still unclear, but he was apprehended during a large Muslim Brotherhood demonstration in Tahrir Square in downtown Cairo."
Ahmed was not surprised by the mocking tone in Vlad's voice. He had seen it so many times in people who had suffered too much. He could have become one too, if it wasn't for a handful of kind people. They had helped him restore his faith in humanity on his long journey from the war-torn Syria to his new home country. The sneer on Vlad's face was there to protect him from another disappointment. Ahmed would pray for him to find his way back to God.
"This earns our Hashim a place on the terrorist watch list," Vlad continued. "Only his best friend's quick action saved young Mr. Assad from torture, prolonged imprisonment, and a likely death. Earlier that day, he had spoken on the phone with Alex Novak, telling about his plan to visit Tahrir Square. When young Mr. Novak couldn't reach him on the phone later that night, he had to run through a snowstorm in the middle of the night to alert his friend's parents. I just felt it in my gut that my buddy was in great danger," Alex Novak told our reporter. "Oh, how sweet."
Vlad glanced at Ahmed with a fake smile.
"His uncle found Hashim Assad in a detention center in central Cairo and secured his release as he was about to be transported to one of the notorious camps in the desert."
Vlad forwarded himself all the links on the screens. Then he typed something, and the surveillance footage of Chloe and Alex appeared on the screen side by side. He compared it to a picture of Hashim, who had a similar jawline and skin color as Chloe. Ahmed realized what Vlad was thinking.
"Hashim is 6 foot, whereas Alex is only 5'7", and those two perpetrators are the same height."
Vlad shrugged his shoulders and marched out of the office. Miriam watched Alex typing his Twitter password for the third time. As the three of them were huddled over Hashim's laptop, she could detect the light tick on the corner of Alex's eye that appeared when he got really nervous. Another point of diversion were the few blonde, almost transparent hairs pushing out under his otherwise smooth jaw. As the final login failed,
Hashim leaned back and asked Alex to try his Gmail account. As the light, musky smell of Alex continued to linger in the air, Miriam stayed put. Soon, she realized she was the only one still up, with her head close to the screen. She retreated and sat down. Luckily, the boys had their eyes fixated on the screen, willing it to open the Gmail account with their pure staring power. But despite their collaborative efforts, the bloody thing wouldn't accept Alex's password. Hashim shook his head.
They've hacked into your accounts.
Can I get them back?
You could, but you shouldn't, because you can't use your old number anymore to recover it. They would track you in a heartbeat.
I could post it too, Miriam said. She had over 15,000 followers on Twitter. As Alex avoided her gaze, she knew he wasn't convinced. It was very hard for Alex to accept help, especially if it put that person in danger. So she turned her pleading eyes to Hashim.
It's too dangerous, Hashim said. We could use Alex's new anonymous email account to open a new Twitter account.
But nobody would find it, Miriam responded. Hashim laid his hand on Alex's back.
I think we should still wait until we have a more solid case.
Alex nodded his consent. The tick stopped right then and there. Again and again, Miriam was surprised how the boys' nonverbal communication worked so well. Although she knew Hashim was right, Miriam couldn't help herself from not being offended. Hashim seemed to wield some magic power over Alex. Of course, she understood she had started to hang out with them only in the junior year, and they had been through a lot already by that time. Nevertheless, there were times that she felt like an outsider, a sort of third wheel to the two boys, and it hurt. Alex watched as Miriam's fingers danced on the keyboard as if she was composing a sacred hymn. So elegant was her touch and her composure, too, and the way her hair fell over her delicate shoulder in a cascade of curls. Her full lips seemed to follow her train of thoughts, moving slightly depending on the emotion she had. At Hashim's insistence, Miriam was using Hashim's proxy server to connect to her closed animal rights network. She was going to inform her activist friends about what was really going on. After Miriam finished writing the post with the caption of the surveillance footage, she turned to the boys.
Should I add anything?
When Alex didn't respond right away, she repeated her question.
Sorry,
Alex said, admonishing himself for letting his mind wander. He looked up and met Miriam's eyes. She seemed to be amused by something. Somehow, the three of them had created a cocoon, where the big bad world was somewhere far away from them. He felt a sense of belonging that had been missing from his life for some time now. As he sat between his two best friends, he thought about his mother and how much she would have liked Hashim and Miriam. Without hesitation, they stayed by his side, regardless of the real and present danger. However, there was a limit to how far he could take them along. He knew they would follow him to hell and back, but he could never allow it. It had been his decision to break into the egg farm, and he had to carry the responsibility of his actions. Hashim paid little attention to the beautiful view opening before his eyes from the terrace. Instead, he sat on a wooden bench with his shoulders tensed up and his eyes fixed on the small screen of his mobile phone. He was scrolling down the comment section of his YouTube video. Seeing the mere username, Jihad Prince, had made the hair on the back of his neck stand. Hashim knew he shouldn't look at what the person had written. For sure, it was another stab in the back from a fellow Muslim, probably from someone not living in this country. An American would think twice about using that kind of username, because it would fast-track you into some kind of security watch list. As he had expected, Jihad Prince referred to an unverified saying by the Prophet, stating that homosexuals should be thrown from tremendous heights and then stoned. And it stung. Why was there so much ill will in the Muslim world? For him, there seemed to be two main, somewhat incompatible ways of how to read the holy book. After coming out, Hashim had found solace in the part of the Quran that described the revelations before the Prophet's escape from Mecca to Medina. They were full of compassion and mercy, especially for the downtrodden. Although the Quran was not written in the chronological order, he could often tell which period the verses came from. The tone of the God's revelations to the Prophet became harsher after Muhammad went on a warpath. Those Muslims who heeded to the latter tended to be more fundamentalists in their views. They wanted a regime that was based on Sharia law, the Islamic religious law. Hashim knew how tempting it was to resort to dogma and intolerance when you had lost your hope. Since his early teens, he had been trying to administer conversion therapy on himself through prayer and piety, but it only added to his misery. His self-hatred sucked all the light from his life, and he started to recover only after making meaningful human connections, namely, befriending Alex. Startled by a touch of a hand, Hashim looked up and saw Alex standing next to him, asking him if he was okay. Overcome by emotion, Hashim stood up and hugged his friend. Alex noticed Hashim's phone on the table and picked it up. "Hey, you have over 1,000 likes."
"Yes, but..."
"And only less than 100 dislikes. Listen to this. I wish we had more people like you who have the moral courage to speak out. May Allah protect you. And this guy's an imam."
Hashim glanced at a small picture of a bearded African-American man on the screen. He had very kind eyes.
"But read the other ones. The real bad ones."
"Oh, I get it. It's those that count.
This one guy says that if I ever come to Yemen, he will be waiting for me at the airport with a can of acid."
Alex sat down next to Hashim, their elbows touching. He pointed to the Al-Fitra tag Hashim had used for his video.
"What does it mean?"
"It means original nature. It's like being gay is a part of your nature."
"Perfect."
Hashim nodded, his eyes sparkling.
"The bad ones just show how important it is what you did. You really touched a sore spot, and that's the only way to make a difference."
Hashim chuckled.
"And if I just touched it, you ripped it all open with blood and guts flying and all. Aren't you scared? Half a country is looking for you."
Smiling back, Alex said,
"If I was alone, yeah. But with you guys, not so much."
Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Trilogy podcast. For more information, go to my website, henrikvillenius.com.